Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. This is Glenn the Geek from the ADA Trade Show in Philadelphia.
Yeah, this is Jamie. I'm in Philly. It's awesome. No. You're listening to Horses This Morning, episode 66, sponsored by
Omega Alpha.
Omega Alpha. And yeah, I've lost my mind. It's so cold here. It is, did you say 11 degrees outside?
It's 11 degrees.
I walked outside and couldn't breathe. Sorry, keep going.
Our friend John the Fiddler, he is like, I think, 11 years old, and he was over here. We saw him last year at the ADA conference, and it was so much fun. So he was here last year, and we got him. You'll hear more of him at the end of the show. We're going to play a complete song by him at the end of the show.
He's the cutest thing ever. He's like a Justin Bieber on a violin. He's awesome.
And Helena is here. Helena B. is also here with us.
Good morning, everybody.
From the Stable Scoop and the Tack and Hatted Show. And we were... I don't know what Jennifer was writing to us there.
Once a producer, always a producer.
It's a live show here. We are actually, for the first time, I am recording together live with my co-host, Jamie. And it's the first time that Helena and Jamie and I have ever recorded together. So that's a lot of fun. We've been having a blast here this weekend.
You know what? I really don't like Helena at all. We have not gotten along. We have not chopped unmercifully together. Glenn thought that there would be trouble if the two of us got together.
And I was right. Yeah, I was exactly right. That's absolutely right. We are at the American Equestrian Trade Association trade show. It is a show where all the buyers from tack shops all across the country and catalog companies and all kinds of retail businesses in the horse world come to buy their product and to see what's new in the horse world. There's probably, I think there's 1,000 and some vendors here.
Okay, yeah, let me paint a picture for you ladies on what this looks like. Okay, you walk in and it is every item of tack possibly that you could find in any aspect of the horse world, and they're just in booths after booth after booth. Now, the problem is that not all of them will let you just walk in and buy it, as just Helena and I have come to discover. Hi, can we buy that? No? Okay, thank you. Sorry. Will you take our money, please?
Yeah.
Please, can we give you money for that?
No,
apparently, they're trying to, like, stock around, so, you know, wholesalers or retailers, like the tack shop in your neighborhood comes here and finds the product, looks at them, tests them out, goes, yeah, I can sell it, or no, I can't sell that. So, apparently Monday is the day that they don't really want to carry all their stuff home. So Monday's the day that Helena and I plan on kind of maybe doing some damage. And I would like to let my husband know, if he's listening, I did not buy the $3,000 saddle. So I think...
Although she thought that, it really, really hard.
Tried to make me buy it. I did not buy the $3,000 saddle because I couldn't do it. So I think that I get a little leeway to buy those area boots. And maybe...
Wait a minute. If he's listening, he already has bought the Ariadne.
Anyway.
They're in your possession, if I saw correctly yesterday.
I might have placed the order already and busted me. I'm listening to this show right now because we didn't talk about any food.
Under the bus once again. Yeah. See? Welcome. It's
That's
cozy
what
co-hooks on the
head. Are for.
Thank you. That's fun. I'm turning red because now I'm in trouble. Thanks.
We want to thank Hopper Expositions for inviting us here again. This is the second time they've invited us here. They gave us a great booth. We have a great spot here on the show floor. And Helene and I were here. The main reason that we were here is to record pieces for the Tack and Habit Show. And in case we have listeners who don't know what that is, would you explain that, Helene?
The Tack and Habit Show is a shorter version of it's not a product review show, but we review a few products and we talk about what's new, what the innovative stuff, the latest and greatest in the equestrian industry. So we do two products every week on Tuesdays. Glenn picks one and I pick one, and then
mine sucks.
Yeah. So we try to do, you know, some inexpensive stuff, some high-end stuff, totally awesome stuff, which we could never afford to buy, like that $3,000 saddle.
That's wholesale, my friend.
Yes,
I know. That's the worst thing about it is you want it so bad that you realize $3,000 is what they pay. What you take home, what you get to pay is even more.
I know. When they have these, you know, the vendors have tags on some of their products, and so Jamie and I are like, oh, look, that's $84. Wholesale.
Yeah.
Oh, that's $2,500. Wholesale. Moving on to the next booth.
Yeah. I have learned so much this weekend from watching you guys record Tack and Habit and reviewing the products and kind of, you know, these people come over, they bring their products to you, you sit down with them, you look at them, and you actually give an honest opinion. But I'm also learning a lot about how the business works and how the retailers and the wholesalers and the buyers and how kind of all of that works. And we've also, Lisa and I, have a heck of a lot about saddle fitting.
Oh, my gosh. Saddle fitting and a whole lot of about something, and we're both more confused than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. What we're going to do here today is we're kind of in the middle of this huge room of booths, and everybody just kind of walks by, and some people just get to come and join us and sit down, and meet Susan, and you're with the
Susan Harding, my old friend. You have to come up close to the mic there, Susan. So Susan was just sitting next door. She had no idea she was going to be on a live radio show this
Welcome.
Morning. Welcome, Susan. Come a little closer to the mic. There you go.
Always nice to speak with you all.
I've known Susan for years and years, and too long that both of us don't want to remember, actually.
Won't tell anyone.
Susan, tell everybody what you did before you retired. She says she retired, but she didn't really retire.
It's a relative statement.
Yeah.
For too many years, I ran the Equine Network, which is a wonderful group of magazines and websites. Equus, Dressage Today, Practical Horseman.
Only a few of them you've ever heard of there.
Oh, my God.
Radio Horse World. Equisearch. Let's see. And then by discoverhorses.com, which is our newest website.
You're an affiliate of ours, too. So
exactly.
We appreciate that.
You can go on discoverhorses.com and link into the radio. So that's pretty super. And we basically, what I've done since I've retired is really trying to take on some nonprofit activities in the horse world, primarily Equine Land Conservation Resource, which is a
good
wonderful.
Yay!
You work with our friend Debbie Bowen.
I do. She's an absolutely fantastic person and a really worthy cause for all the horse people out there. You really need to worry about land, cost to pay, availability of boarding facilities, places to ride, all those important things.
Say the name of that again because I
Equine Land Conservation Resource, ELCR.
Yep. So I think ELCR.org is the website.
It is.
Right.
It's a good website. If you have land problems, it's a wonderful resource, place to go to find out how to get help. One of the things we work very closely with the Land Trust Alliance, which is a national organization that works with people trying to save land, preserve land across the country. And one of our objectives is to make sure they include horse use in those land conservation efforts. Very important. Many people don't think about it. And even some horse properties have ended up not allowing horses after they've gone into a conservation easement.
Right.
Wow.
So something to keep in mind. If you have zoning problems, we have really good contacts across the country, people you can talk to in your local area that really can help you, you know, get through some of those zoning issues.
And wait, you're retired?
Susan never really retired with anything.
That's way too much fun. I have time to do all the things I love doing now.
That's great.
And Susan, now you're still involved somewhat. You still consult with the magazine.
I still do a lot of the sponsorships and you know a lot of the relationships with the different organizations. One of the things the Equine Network we felt strongly about is that we really want to be a leader in the industry and that we really want to help deal with a lot of the issues the industry is facing. And actually, the basic concept behind discoverhorses.com was to try to bring the industry together to grow the horse world.
Mm-hmm.
We currently have 37 partners, which range from our two major partners, three actually, our U.S. Equestrian Federation, the Quarter Horse Association.
Small.
And the Small Horse Park.
Small.
So,
there's minor players in the horse world. You have the AQHA.
But in addition to that, we have 37 other partners who help us provide content, get the word out there. And the idea is to attract people who may not necessarily be involved yet.
So there's a whole group out there just for me? Glenn and Jennifer are always kind of funny because whenever I'm hacking around town on my horse and someone stops and says, oh, a beautiful horse, I feel like I'm a missionary, you know. Sign up for riding lessons,
exactly.
Find your pony club. You know, you're preaching out there, and it's so nice to hear that there's a group, organization behind that.
And there's a website you can send people to where you can find a stable, find a place to ride, find a pony club, find a dude ranch, all that kind of thing. So there's lots of opportunities on the site to get involved. One of the things we're doing in the coming year is we'll be focusing on horse events that are really spectator-oriented. As the horse world knows, many horse shows don't really focus on the spectator.
Uh-huh.
So what we've tried to do is identify horse events that do to send new people there, where they'll have a really good experience.
Yeah.
So everything from the Gold Cup, you know, in Virginia, a steeplechase, to Rolex three-day event in Kentucky, which is a wonderful spectator event. Some of the three-day events in California are really good for spectators.
And the National Finals Rodeo, which we want to go to this year.
So far.
Can I come too?
Yeah.
Tell you what, that sounds like a lot of fun. So, yeah, Susan, it's been great knowing you all these years, and I'm glad that you're not completely retired because this industry would miss you without having you floating around booking everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks for letting me
in words. I just bug them differently now.
Yeah, that's true.
That's by advertising.
And we have to be set up right beside you in the booth here. Thank you,
Susan.
That's Susan Harding. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Nice to have you next door.
Yes, yeah, you're good neighbors this weekend. So this morning we plan on having a lot of different interviews, and we have a very special surprise that we're hoping may show up. I think Helena's going to – she's off shopping. She's leaving us.
Wait. Hold on. Jamie's going to give me a shopping
list.
Here's your list. and get whatever is on the
right.
Thank you.
Chat, I am not responsible.
Wait, here's my credit card.
Oh, yeah, I'll take Chat's
credit card.
you guys had a fun time this weekend. I think this is your first time ever at the trade show.
Yeah, it's way too much. I am like so unbelievably excited about all of this, and it's been an education, like I said.
You have to come over. Come on and sit down. We have Robin Moore just walked by from World Equestrian Brands. Hi, Robin.
Good morning.
We're on our live show right now, so everybody's listening to you.
All right. How are you today?
We're great. Now, I know that these two, Helena and Jamie, spent a lot of time in your booth yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, we did.
What were you looking at?
Amerigo
saddles. That's right. That's the thing that scares your husband the most.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Is this a good show for you here?
Yeah, it's definitely the environment from last year. This year, significantly. People seem, you know, happier about the economy and a little bit, just everyone seems more relaxed and things are looking positive. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so what's been the biggest difference then? How much you've sold or how much... Just the energy people, or
I would say both.
Really,
you know, the sales have been better, and also people just seem more relaxed. Last year, the tone was more just kind of, you know, if they needed it, they would buy it, not really daring to get into more than they knew they really needed. Where now they're entertaining new products and things like that. So
okay,
yeah.
Well, and tell everybody, get a free plug in here. Tell a little bit about World Equestrian Brands.
Yeah, well, we are really pleased to be able to have Mattis heads and sheepskin products and Equilibrium, which is great leg protection and therapy products, a massage mitt and pad that we were talking about.
Oh, we got to try that out yesterday, and it was really nice. Yeah. It actually felt good, too. And it's from horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know, home and barn. So, and then, of course, the Vespucci and the Amerigo and the Vega saddle. So,
yeah. And then I I have now sold our friend Helena on the Amerigo.
Yes.
Because I don't own one, but I've had the I've been fortunate enough to ride in a couple of them, and they're like heaven on earth as far as sitting on a horse. And tell us why the Amerigo is different and special. And how you guys, I mean, it's almost like a special network of people that are only allowed to sell it because they are the knowledgeable on the saddle fit and everything like that.
Yeah, we try to be really careful, just knowing how much harm a saddle can do to a horse if it's not fit properly. So what we do is we assess the horse in a way beyond just looking at the width and things like that. What we do is we assess the top line, and we've got a number of trees that match the top line of the horse's back. So what we do is we want to make sure that whatever the shape of the horse's top line is, that we have a tree that follows that shape.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not just relying on the panels to do the work that really the tree needs to do.
Because panels can shift and the flock moves and all that. So you really, the bottom line is that tree has to be correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done some work with a vet in the past that always used to say the bones need to equal the bones. So,
yeah.
You know, basically the tree, the bones of the saddle need to match the spine, the top line of the horse, so that the shape is consistent and we're not going against, like if a horse's back is rising and we have a saddle that's got a really deep bend in it, you're going to create a problem where the bend is meeting the back. So no matter what you do with a panel.
Yeah. So it's not even all about where the saddle sits on the withers and the three fingers in there. It's also about where the low spot hits your horse's back.
Yeah.
And it needs to kind of mirror that. Helena and I were so interested yesterday. We were just like soaking up the saddle fitting knowledge that she has, so Robin has. So thank you very much for spending so much time and you know,
pleasure to talk.
We'll have to talk.
And Robin, give your website again quick.
Okay, thanks. It's www.worldequestrianbrands.com.
All right, great. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
She's the one that gave away the Vespucci bridle.
Yes, on our first month.
First month.
Yeah, we really appreciated that too. She didn't know she was going to get dragged over here. She wouldn't have came by.
I know. So. Everybody, you notice that there's nobody in front of us?
Yes.
There's people here all over the place that nobody is
walking by this morning. I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, we have picked our favorite products, all four of us, I think,
yeah.
Our favorite new products, and we'll be talking about those as the show unfolds. And also I was about to say before we caught Robin over there is that we have a very special surprise later in the show, and we're not quite sure what time they're going to show up, but let's just say that Jamie and I are going to get blown up on the show today. We are going to get blown up. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. I don't think Jamie's so much looking forward to getting blown up.
You know, just the term getting blown up is frightening enough. But in actuality, what's going to happen? I'm really scared. And I've talked to a couple people that have been blown up, and they didn't die, obviously. They got blown up, and they said it was extremely scary. It just because, like, the anticipation of getting blown up and then the actual feeling that happens to your entire upper body. So if you don't know what we're talking about, you will soon enough, but you're definitely going to want to stick around. We're going to have to videotape it.
Yes, because we'll definitely have to videotape
again,
it.
Again, Glenn and I are simultaneously getting blown up here at the conference.
And we're definitely going to be putting that video up as soon as we can. As soon as we get that, Jennifer's going to be doing that. Jennifer has been a great help here this weekend, trying to keep everything flowing producer-wise. We did 22 interviews about new products for the Tech and Habit Show the last 2 days.
Oh my gosh!
We actually did 22 interviews the last 2 days.
Yeah,
it's been wild. We got to spend time with a friend of ours that we met at the International Equestrian Festival, and he's a terrific guy, and his girlfriend, and that's Guy McLean and Emily.
Oh my gosh, he is an Australian dreamboat. Is what he is. He's like the man from Snowy River, totally. He's the guy. If you haven't seen him on YouTube, you just put in Guy McLean in YouTube, and it'll come up with him. He's on one Australian stock horse, and then he has three other breeds, three other horses, and he does this Liberty show with them, which ends with one horse lying down. Okay, imagine he's already cantered front ways, sideways, and backwards, cantered backwards with this one horse, and then this horse lays down, and then all the other three side pass right on top of them. And so have you ever seen a horse laying underneath three others? I haven't.
No, it's very impressive to watch. And his horses are pretty cool. He has Australian stock horses and quarter horse crosses.
Yeah.
And they're just so obedient. They just pay attention to every move he makes.
And that's what he's trying to get out is, you know, he doesn't want to be a Pirelli marketer. He doesn't want to sell a million different whips and spurs and tack and all that. He just really wants to honestly help people train their horses. And he sells his DVDs, and that's about it. Like, I talked to him, he said he didn't want to get in-depth into all the, you know, having to do all that. Unfortunately, that's kind of the way to make money. So he just wants to go around and demo and sell his DVDs and help you train your horse better. So it's definitely interesting, and Helena got the DVDs, so we're going to share.
Now, Jennifer's sitting down here. She just got back. So have you had while you're here, and I know that you're always running around, so we can't catch you too often, but do you have a favorite product, a new product that you saw?
Favorite new product.
Because you've been out with the rest of them scanning.
Yeah.
Jennifer is a tackaholic.
I am.
Since the days we owned our tack shop, she has truly just been into tack, and she loves
it. I'm a tackaholic. Let's see here. The Hoof Wraps brand soaking boot, that's at the top.
Yeah.
It's essentially a very small, maybe 2-quart size, collapsible bucket. You've seen collapsible buckets that the endurance riders use and trail riders use.
Uh-huh.
But it's just the right size that a horse's hoof and lower leg fit in it. And it's waterproof. So instead of soaking with this big bucket, you soak with this handy-dandy little thing. It's got little Velcros on it, so you just snug
so
it on top a little
it
bit.
Up so it doesn't come off.
So if he shushes around a little bit, it doesn't slosh out. And my favorite part about this got me really going because, knock on wood, I don't have a whole lot of abscess issues in my life right now. You can also ice their feet with it.
Yeah.
Hello. You need 2 handfuls of ice that you can get at the ice machine and not a 5-pound bag.
Right.
So that was really cool. That's right near the top of mine.
And that'll be coming up on Tack and Habit, too.
We
talked to him about the inventor of that.
And what booth is that? Because I have to go get one. Just write that down.
Ooh, yeah, they're all
Jennifer
way,
wants one, too.
Yeah,
so.
They're all the way in the back of the building.
Okay,
and they weren't expensive either.
We'll
that was
right
the
back.
Thing. They were very affordable. Yeah, leave me here by myself.
Bye.
I knew this was going to happen. I was afraid of this.
Yeah.
You ladies, I'm not kidding you. I wish you could all be here with us. And just, you know, email me if you have a shopping need, because I would be happy to go get something for you. It just cures my shopping desires to buy things for other people.
Oh, you know another cool thing that I found?
What?
Sorry. We didn't get to feature it on Tack and Habit because we just ran out of time. Tail Tamers has come out with a fly whisk. It looks like a crop, except it's got horse's tail on the end of it.
Yeah.
And they make them in all kinds of fun colors. Now, the tail is just plain old horsehair color because it's a real tail.
They're not dead?
No, they're live horses.
I asked.
They trim their tails.
I asked. I was like, are these dead horse tails?
No.
I was like, no, we wouldn't do that.
They harvest the tail hair like you harvest wool on a sheep. You trim it, and then you feed your horse, and he grows more tail, and you trim it again.
Yeah. I want to point that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ask.
A lot of people ask that, actually. But
makes this one different?
Well, it's shorter. The crop aspect of it is very short, and it's sewn in with a leather tab at the end. And traditionally, it was like usually a bamboo crop portion, and it was attached with this fancy stitching system because it's the same way they've been making them.
The problem with those was the tail always fell out in about 2 weeks, and you never had a
right.
Wig left.
Well,
yeah.
Because you tied it on, because these things were designed before they had glue.
Yeah.
They've been making them the same way, and they're really cool looking, but they fall apart so fast, and they're very expensive. So she's using really high-tech glues, and then she stitches on a little leather tab. So it's really cool.
Well, and you know, that's very important. Jennifer is a fox hunter, and fox hunters know all about the whisk.
You need the whisk.
Yeah.
I love the whisk, especially up in New England where I did a lot of hunting.
With the green heads.
Well, the little triangle-shaped yellow flies, I think they call them deer flies.
Yeah, deer flies are the worst.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, do you have a fly problem out in Arizona?
Nothing more than the standard staple fly, but I remember, in Georgia, the deer flies were hideous. And for about 3 weeks a year, you couldn't trail ride. And then the other 3 weeks where we had trails cut through the woods at Beaver Springs where I boarded, and going through the woods, these spiders, would complete, and the trail was probably like 2-horse width, and the spiders overnight would lay, would create a web that went across, and so all of a sudden, you just were face first into a spider web. And, the spiders were on it. And they're huge. They were like silver dollar-sized red spiders. I don't know what they were, but they were horrible. We just quit trail running for, like, months. It was horrible. Between the spiders.
I don't think they make spider whips.
Somebody needs to create that. Like, what we did was I would take my whip and I put the branch, and I would just whip it down and up and down in front of my horse's face, and he's fine with whatever now, because I'm like, we're not going to hit another one until we get home, you know.
So,
the bad things in Georgia, we don't really have a big problem here. I just try to, you know, get my chickens to eat all the scorpions.
Yeah, that's a minor problem you guys have. A little poisonous,
you know,
thing.
Gila monsters, scorpions, and black widows. That's all.
That's all.
Gila monsters, black widows, and... Oh, that's too funny. Oh, my.
Well, guys, we ran into another friend of ours over the weekend, and she couldn't stay. She was heading out, but we recorded a little interview with her, and that is... And she's been on the Horses in the Morning show before, and that's Molly from Dappled Gray.
Love her.
From dappledgray.com, and we spent a little bit of time with her. So let's take a listen to the first time we met in person, Molly from Dappled Gray. Well, we just ran across somebody in the hall here, and we're so glad. I am so glad to finally meet you, because you and I have talked forever, and we've never met in person. And you have one of the vlogs that we absolutely love called Dappled Gray, and we're talking to Molly from Dappled Gray.
Hello.
Hi, Molly. Welcome, welcome.
It's really nice to meet both of you as well. I'm a fan of the show, and like you said, we've been in touch before, and I heard your voice from halfway across the show hall here, and it led me over here to your booth.
I get that a lot. It's something about me being excessively loud, I think, is the problem.
Yeah, distinctive is more what
I hate my voice, by the way. And everybody says, no, it's distinctive, it's unique, and people recognize it right off the top.
Yes.
So, now, why are you here?
I am here doing research for the blog. I came last year, and I'm here again. Really surprised and excited about how many new and exciting products I've seen. A lot of new apparel, some new distributorships coming from Germany that are here. That I have a lot of readers that are always trying to figure out how to get some of the things they see online from Europe but don't have a way to get them here in the States. So just to do research, meet the brands, learn more. It's always different with the products if you can touch them, feel them, try it on, hear the story of why it was created. So that really benefits me for what I put on the web.
So what have you seen that you've really, really liked? Because I have fallen in love with a ton of stuff.
Well,
Jamie's going to need two bags going over the
plane.
I
already bought something.
That's how
far I went. I did do an impulse buy, which is really rare for me. I saw some really cool show shirts. I think what I'm seeing there is, especially for the Hunter Ring, where things used to be so traditional, we've got this return to the Hunter Derbies, natural fences. Maybe the horses have a little more expression in the ring, and I think that's coming through in the apparel as well. It's part of my background as a rider, so I'm really excited to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Breeches as well. The denim trend that we talked about last year is like
which
off
was
the
so,
chart
I
now.
Know, and it was so funny because denim was in years and years ago, and then it went back out, and nobody would wear denim breeches anymore.
Yeah.
And they just stopped selling them. Millers and Isers used to carry them way back.
Absolutely. I remember them in the catalog.
Yeah, and they were popular, and they had the bell-bottom ones and all of that, and now they're back.
I hear you're into bell-bottoms, actually.
Yeah, I really do.
So
like,
I heard you're lobbying.
I still have my 70s leisure suit.
Yeah. Plaid.
Plaid. No, it's actually an olive green.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We should get you a plaid one. That'd look good on you.
No, and there's also, so this was the craziest thing I think I've seen today. Did you see the diamond made of horsehair?
No.
Okay, that's your job, is to find it. It's here, in this building.
And it's what now, a diamond?
Yes. So diamonds being made of carbon can actually be manufactured from anything that contains a certain amount of carbon. So they're making diamonds. If you cut a piece of horse hair, it has to just be a certain amount. It can be mane, tail, body hair, whatever, a certain volume. It can turn into a diamond. So I thought, can't really top that for kind
that's
of the
fantastic.
Most unique
we
gotta thing
find
at the
that.
Show.
I'm going to have one.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess what they told me, you should go talk to them, but it started with, it's in Brazil, grass clippings from the main soccer field where Pele played.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so now it's started as this item to commemorate that, but perfect for the horse, commemorate your horse, the keepsake sort of thing.
What company is it? Do you remember?
It's Wise Equestrian.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Wise Equestrian.
Yeah.
Okay,
so I think it's down in the last building.
Well, if you're impressed, we're impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just sort of blown away by that. You know, what's not something I would expect.
Right. Is that what you purchased? Because you said you went shopping?
I did. I happened to have some horsehair with me, and they did it right there on the side, like the county fair, right? They're like,
push your penny.
Yeah, like that machine, yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, we're talking with Molly from Dapplegray.com, and great to finally meet you. And thank you so much, Na-na-na. Nana Boo Boo, Glenn, because I got a Dapplegray hat.
Yeah, what
and
is
didn't.
With that? Why
well,
does she get swag and I don't?
It's too girly for you.
You know, I
You've
heard Jamie
her
on
month.
The air. She said she likes to wear a cap to the barn. I'm the same way. I'm a big believer in being prepared to hide your helmet hair.
Thank you. Hello. On, off.
At all times, exactly. And hope that no one talks to you while you're making the switch quickly in the tack room. So that's why if I do come out with a male version of the cap, you will be the first
to
get one.
All right, good. Thank you very much, Molly. I appreciate it. That's Molly from Dapplegray. Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys.
Molly.
Well, did you ever get over to find the diamond?
I never did. I still haven't found it. And I've walked around here, I feel like, a million times. So we'll have to...
Hey, well, horsehair diamonds can't be that big, so they're probably easy to miss.
Yeah. I think I'm just shocked I haven't seen a diamond from a mile away and run over to it. So I think my honing device is off.
Well, while we were playing that recording, we nabbed two of the vendors here. And we want to talk real quick to Robin from Horsey Lights and Doggy Lights. Now, we didn't get an opportunity to talk to you earlier this week. Get a little bit closer to the mic. So tell us what they are. What are Horsey Lights and Doggy Lights?
Horsey lights and doggy lights are high-intensity LED accessories for dogs, cats, horses, and owners that you can see between 1,000 feet and 0.5 miles in the dark. So it keeps the owner safe.
This is fantastic. These, and first of all, safety, schmafety, they're cute. They've got little blue and red blinky lights on that one. This is a solar dog collar that blinks. So when you take your dogs out for walks at night, or, I mean, I'm assuming, you know, I just let mine out on the farm and I call them, you don't know where they are. I got you now. I can see you back at the back of the property. Come on back. So is that primarily what they're used for? Is this keeping people safe for dog walks at night? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I sell as many to city folk as to country folk. City folk like to walk their dogs and they want to keep them safe in the cars. The country folk want to keep them safe in the cars as well when they go near the road, but also they just like to know where the dogs are.
Yeah. I love this. We have two new puppies in the house and we do let them out at midnight. You know, I let them out and they go. And I don't really want to follow them outside. It's cold, so I just kind of peek through the window. This would be so great to have. Chad, we're buying more stuff, honey.
You make these for horses, too. Do they hook to the halter? Or?
Yes. Actually, I designed a brow band for the mounted police, the police colors. So I have police colors, and I have them in my
mouth. So the brow band actually blinks.
It does. It blinks, and it's solid. You have the choice.
Is it like does it have a siren on it, too? You turn it on, and it goes,
next year's mine.
Okay.
But it's awesome. It's great for trail riding. There's a lot of accidents on the road for people and for horses, and it's pretty dangerous out there. So this is just a nice little nifty feature. So 90% of my buyers are trail riders.
Yeah.
But 10% of them are carriage drivers, rodeos, festivals, barn animals, which you just want to see them in the field, but on your cow or your donkey or your sheep.
And the dog ones actually have little LEDs that blink all over the collar, so they're kind of cool. They're fun in different colors and things. The horse one, is it more of the strip, like a long strip?
Like a brow band.
Yeah, the brow band cover is actually very similar to the dog one, but it's just more versatile. You can Velcro it on. So because you Velcro it, you can put it anywhere, a halter, a reins, or your belt, anything.
We could put it on Jamie's so I could find her.
You could. Yeah. You could even turn it off if you wanted to hide.
I can turn it off then? Okay, good. That works.
Yeah, you have one other thing here, too, real quick, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah, we're just really into cool electronic gadgets for animals.
Oh, she's geeky. She is geeky. I sat with her at dinner the other night. Oh, that's cool. It's a kitty. It's a bowl you feed your cats. Her kid is a dick. It has a little pink cat in the front. And it has a lid on it, and it's motion sensitive, right?
Correct. It has a little infrared sensor in it. So as soon as the animal goes up to it, it opens. It stays open because it senses the animal in front of it eating. And as soon as the animal leaves, it closes again. So it keeps the water and the food fresh, the odors in, the flies and the dust out.
Wow. That is a great idea. The Beast would love that. He'd be playing with it all day. He'd be going up and down, up and down.
Crazy with it, but they get some people that have feed or water outdoor cats. This would be great for them. They'd walk up and it would open. And then you all have all the flies in your back patio. That's
exactly.
Great.
That is a really cool thing. It's very cute. Where can people find your products?
They can find them in any of the retailers that we have listed on our site.
Which is?
Which is doggylights.com or horseylights.com.
That's horse, the letter E, lights, L-I-T-E-S, .com.
Horse-E-L-I-T-E-S.com.
Okay.
They can also buy online directly if they'd like on our website.
Okay, cool.
And usually when people do that, they're so excited, they take the product into their local tax store or pet store and say, please carry this.
Well, say goodbye in French. She's from Canada. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye, Robin.
And we're going to get. We actually have one of the buyers here from a store everybody's going to recognize, and we're going to have you sit down. But I promise that you don't want to fool around with a gun-toting mama. we found one of my favorite products of the weekend. It is something that I never thought I would see at this show, and that is by a group called the Gun-Totin' Mamas, and it is just what it sounds. It's Gun-Totin' Mamas. So tell us about the Gun-Totin' Mamas.
Well, the Gun-Totin' Mamas came about because we had the request at one of our trade shows that were our bags, concealed carry handbags. And the requests were so enormous by the end of the show, we thought, okay, this has got to happen. And what we did is we made sure that we talked to everybody that came to our booth to make sure that we were designing these bags appropriately to carry concealed weapons. And the big issue on this is that we made sure that the shoulder strap had a steel cable going through it so that it was flash resistant. All of our bags are ambidextrous. They're left and right-handed. Every one of the bags has a holster. But the issue was that we wanted to make sure that we had a handbag that looked good, made of leather, and could retail for $100 or less. And that was the whole point of developing these bags.
And you really, honestly, it's hard to find a really nice handbag for under $100.
Correct.
And these are very nice. The leather is beautiful.
They're correct. Really nice. Thank
and
you.
Now I know what that is. That's a steel cable so they don't slash your purse.
Right.
You live in a tough neighborhood. My God.
There's a steel cable that actually goes through the strap.
But
and
you
one
made
of the,
it look like a designer
like accessory,
piece.
Yeah.
Right. We want to say that it's slash resistant, even though we have a six-strand cable going through there. With the technologies that are out there, we want to just make sure that we're deterring that few moments that you can get yourself armed. If for any reason something should happen to that shoulder strap, we will replace it. If for any reason you end up shooting through the bag, we will replace it.
Oh, that'd be bad.
Yeah, well.
That's fun to hear every day.
If you do the honor of blasting through your purse, we will replace it for free.
And now, this will hold a pretty good size weapon, too.
Well, actually, we designed the bags to hold various sizes. The one that you see here, which is our number one seller, which is the Hobo, will carry a revolver-sized gun. We do carry other products that can go as large as a 1911 Commander or even larger, but we wanted to make sure...
By the way, people, that's big. Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds
barrel
scary.
About this big.
Yeah,
bullets this big.
But we wanted to make sure that we offered products that could carry the range that a woman would typically carry, whether it's in the city or in the country, either way. And we wanted to make sure that we had a bag that was lightweight to begin with, because we know how much we like to use our bags in addition to the gun. So we made the bags that were lightweight to start. The leather is absolutely gorgeous, and we use a naked quality leather, which will get softer as you use it, but will not at all impair the ability of the leather to perform. We guarantee the life of the leather. We also have the special padding that we use in the gun area so that the gun won't imprint as the leather gets softer.
Oh, that's important.
Yeah.
And there's a special compartment here for all the extra bullets, I see.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm impressed with is that, you know, I have and I'm using finger quotes, Coach bag, and it says Coach all over it.
Yes.
Now, if this were to say gun-toting mamas all over, people would know, you know.
Stay away from me, yeah.
Actually, it's like it's an unmarked bag.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
It has.
Correct.
It doesn't say, you know, GTM or anything on
and
it. Right.
And what makes it so ironic, and you can't see this on the radio,
oh my gosh.
This particular gun-toting mama is about...
How tall?
4'8".
4'8", yes, that's right. And the bag's about half as big as you are, but I'll tell you what, now we know. Don't fool around with this 4'8" gun-toting mama. Where can people find your bag?
They can find our bags on our website at www.guntotingmama.com. And we're hoping that we can get the word out.
Do you sell to Jeffers yet?
Not yet.
You will.
Not yet.
We have...
Me, by the way.
We have Jamie here.
You will be nice to Jamie. You will be nice to her.
You better buy from her. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, that was terrific. Thank you so much. That was one of my product picks for the... I wouldn't wear the purse myself, but boy, oh, boy. What name? Like gun-toting mama?
It's a European men's carry-all, Glenn. Put it on.
Next up, we have Jamie here and also Kimberly from Jeffers. How are you guys doing?
We're having a fantastic morning.
Good. And now, you're here. You're obviously buyers.
Correct.
So we're talking to you guys as buyers here. And everybody's heard of Jeffers. I don't think there's too many out there that haven't heard of Jeffers.
JeffersEcoin.com. Been there a million times.
Yeah,
right?
See? There you go.
And both of us have grown up shopping there. So
right.
Like, oh, so it's like a dream job for you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're the buyers?
Yeah.
Okay. So you get to buy everything here. You just go around and you pick what you want to buy. And
how satisfying.
Pretty much. Is
that?
We hope
very
we get to. We have to take it home and get approved.
Darn, everybody has a boss, don't they?
They do.
So tell us a little bit about Jeffers and for people who don't know.
Well, Jeffers has been in business for 35 years, and it was started in the basement of Dr. Jeffers' house. And it originally started as part of his cattle producing business where he was buying product for the cattle people. And, you know, they were just basically handing out flyers to local, you know, farms nearby. And it eventually grew.
Yeah, it started out with Ruth Jeffers and Mary Jeffers, which are the daughters, just handing out the flyers and going from mailbox to mailbox.
Are you guys still walking from mailbox to mailbox handing out flyers?
I'm not.
Right? No, thank you.
We have internet for that now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys are allowed to say, but, I mean, we've all seen all the products here. What do you guys really like?
I will tell you my hands-down favorite pick is the Prevent Feeder. It's It is awesome. It's basically just a feed bucket, and in the bottom are molded holes so that the feed goes in there. And so it keeps your horse from bolting food, so, you know, you don't have the choking problem. It seems to calm them down, so you don't have to worry about them getting aggressive with other pasture mates that are eating at the same time. It's just, it's miraculous.
I saw that first at WAG, at the World Equestrian Games, and spent some time with them. And there's a lot of, she spent years, I mean like 10 years, going through prototype after prototype to get it the way she wanted it and to get it right so it actually worked right.
Mm-hmm.
She's put a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of effort into this feeder.
Yeah. When you say holes, I looked at it, and it's like almost like mug cup size, kind of.
Yeah.
And in the bottom of it, it's
like cupcake holes,
like muzzle size divots, I guess, in the bottom of the bucket. So it seems like the grain would get trapped in these little divots, and the horse has to actually work to get it out.
Exactly. So he's concentrating on doing that and then keeping his head in bucket.
He'll be mad at you.
He'll
be mad. But
I first showed attention to it because I have a horse that just spits his food out everywhere. His teeth are perfectly straight in the line and everything, and he still wastes food everywhere.
Right.
And so I'm extremely excited over
it. Well, and the theory behind it was that they actually are doing the grazing motion in their bucket. They're grazing through the different holes. So what happens over a period of time, she was explaining, is that your horse learns to eat slower and he takes his time. So what normally would take 5 minutes of woofing it down, it takes them, you know, 30 minutes of grazing through the bucket, which was, it's fascinating. And they're neat people. I think, so I suspect Jeffers is going to be selling these pretty soon.
Oh,
we will be looking in the April catalog and online. It's going to be there. So.
And Jamie, what did you
like? What was your pick?
Yeah, I really like the Odor No More bedding.
Oh, that's one of my favorite picks.
Yeah.
Did you see the demonstration he did?
I did, and it's really a neat demonstration.
He took what ammonia, pure pretty much ammonia liquid.
Right.
And tell them what they did. It was just amazing. It smelled like ammonia.
Well, basically, they take it and they put it down, and then they sprinkle about a teaspoon of their bedding on top of this liquid. And basically, a few minutes later, you see the bedding absorb, and it turns into a little crystal. Well, I don't know. They're crystal-like looking.
Yeah, like hard almost.
Yeah. And it just kind of soaks everything up, and then it's very easy to pick up from there.
And it smells like pine shavings.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Your eyes watered when you sniffed the ammonia water. And then he put it down. He brought a cup over for us with about 5 inches of ammonia water, mm-hmm. and he filled it full of this odor no more.
Right.
Unbelievable. It did not smell like ammonia at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that concentrated. It was amazing.
How is that? I didn't see the demo. So how does that translate to a huge giant stall? Is this cost efficient? Is it
right? Well, where
how do they do it?
Right. With my own horses, I noticed that, you know, I have one horse that just loves the stall. He is always there, and it's always smelly. And with using that and being able to use so little of it, I've cut down a lot on my shavings.
Drastically. You know, you start out, you know, with a clean first stall, and you put a layer of this down, and then after that,
I mean,
it's
sprinkle
just going
it, not
back.
A lot.
Right, just right. a little bit, a very little bit.
You go back and add to it from then on, and
it's
amazing how much money you'll save on
right.
Writing.
Cool.
Awesome.
I like it, obviously, for the title, the odor. You know,
yeah.
Some horses are just stinkier than
and
others.
And this time of year, so many people, their barns are enclosed
mm-hmm.
because it's winter and it's freezing outside, and that ammonia smell builds up so much.
Does.
So, well, that's cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And we already have this in our catalog, and it's an awesome seller. So
and
if you're looking for it.
And do you carry the kitty odor no more, too, for the kitty litter?
We do. Well, there's. Yeah.
That, I brought that home. I want to try it on my kitty litter, you know, because he makes it also for kitty litter, and it does the same thing. It you put it on the bottom of the pan
mm-hmm.
and then put your kitty litter on top, and it absorbs the moisture that gets to the bottom, and the smell goes away.
It's like high-tech science stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah,
big brain stuff. And lots of new colors everywhere.
New colors of everything.
Yeah.
Helmets,
you know.
I've noticed that
all over the place.
That is a really big trend here is everything. I mean, from the muck forks to the muck buckets to whatever.
The breeches,
everything
yeah.
is pink and tie-dyed breeches. Mm-hmm. There's a pair of tie-dyed breeches right around the corner. Love, love, love them. And the boots.
Our hippie girl here.
Super colorful boots.
Right.
I love it. So I'm loving the color that's been introduced and making your barn exciting.
Right.
So people just go on jeffersequine.com and you can find this product shortly.
jeffersequine.com, and remember that we have brand new sales. We're doing Wow Wednesdays and Tack of the Day Thursdays and Facebook Fridays, and we have
Facebook Fridays.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. So we definitely have a lot of things that we can offer you.
Well,
awesome.
That's terrific. Well, thank you both for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
It, so.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was fun from the retailer's point of view.
Yeah, that's really cool to kind of get you got these people that are sitting here pitching their, like the whip wand lady you'll hear about on Stable Scoop. I'm sorry,
Tack
on
Tack
and
yeah.
Habit. She took out a home equity line of credit on her house to design this whip watch. And it's a whip that has a watch, cross-country watch, on the end of it. It's brilliant. She's sitting here peddling this thing and, you know, getting good results. But you've got those people, then you've got the buyers that come around and see these inventions and go, I can make that. I can make you famous. You know, I can make you money. We can sell that as our Jeffers Equine or whatever other whole retailer. So I just think it's really neat to kind of learn how this all works and see all these people.
I thought you would have fun here this weekend. You weren't too sure what you were getting into when I asked you to come.
11 degrees outside. There's 3 feet of snow.
Everywhere.
And I still haven't gotten to make my snow angel, which we will have to do before I leave.
I said you really don't want to do that in Philadelphia snow.
Yeah,
that's probably not a good idea.
Yellow.
Oh, Helena's back. Did you spend lots of money?
What'd you find?
Well, I bought myself a helmet.
You
I
did? Charles Owen?
I go.
Oh,
you got it, didn't you, the Aerie?
Tell us what you
did.
Got.
I got the Charles Owen Aerate in black on black because, you know, they had a really nice, like, black, golden black, which is, I was surprised. I didn't think I'd like the gold, but it's really nice. But I thought the black on black was a little more flexible.
Yes, absolutely.
And then I bought Gracie a protective vest, the JL9,
and we had Peter measure her last night. There was lots of tickling and giggling going on.
Yeah, here. Did you, when we went over there, measure your daughter, take the tape from the top of her shoulder to the last rib. And it's like, I'm tickling myself with that, so I can't even imagine.
Well, then explaining that to him, I'm like, okay, put the tape at the top of her shoulder. And he's like, and so then he starts throwing all these medical terms because, you know, he's in research.
The clavicle?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, it's just down the front of her chest, you know, and then you hear.
For Gracie.
That's great. And good best. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. We're going to have Charles Owen people on because, yeah, I'm a fan. But right now we have Mary from Finishing Touch of Kentucky.
Come on, Mary. We're about 2 inches from the mic there.
And again,
is that good?
Yeah, that's good.
Mary is another special friend of mine.
Special you friend. You did spend some money over there.
I spent some time in her booth. I am soon to be so broke. I'm broke. I am broke after this weekend. And I know I'm here to, like, work and everything, whatever. I'm broke. Mary, we did some nice work. I'm glad I want you to look at my earrings.
You're wearing new ones today.
They're kind of new. They're from Finishing Touch of Kentucky.
Finishing Touch of Kentucky. Yeah, tell everybody what Finishing Touch is. Everybody knows it,
Finishing Touch of Kentucky. We manufacture and wholesale equestrian jewelry around the world. Well, we're located in Nicholasville, Kentucky. We're neighbors of yours. You are in Lexington.
Uh-huh.
Our business is in Nicholasville.
And do you make the jewelry? Do you find the makers?
We do a portion of the manufacturing in Nicholasville. A lot of it is done in Rhode Island, like the casting and the polishing and the plating is done in Rhode Island. And then we glue it. If it has to be glued, we put it on cards. We link it in-house.
Fantastic. Well, your stuff is beautiful. And do you have a website, Mary, that people can see your beautiful products?
We do. Our web address is www.tft, that's Tom Frank Tom, at AOL.com.
TFT at AOL.com. Okay, and it's horse jewelry. I mean, everything you would want to do. We've got these gorgeous secretariat pins. They're secretariat pins. I love them. So if you're a secretariat fan, you want to go on their website or Finishing Touch of Kentucky and
it'll tell
it.
You where you can get them.
Yeah,
we actually manufacture this pin, but we have the authority to do that, but we don't have the authority to sell it to anybody except the designer. The designer's name is Selena Ramsey, and she's the one who designed the pin that is worn by Penny Chinnery in the movie.
Oh.
And it is just a gorgeous piece. She actually used Secretariat as her model.
Oh, wow.
So, because she knew Secretariat, and she knows the original Penny Chinnery.
The real Penny
Chinnery.
The
real Penny Chinnery, yes.
Oh, wow. Well, that's fantastic.
Well,
that's
thank
great.
You
thank
so
you.
Much, and it's been fun being set up behind. Sorry we were so noisy all weekend.
Oh, that's okay. We loved it. We loved the country music.
Oh.
I want to say one more thing about this. This one is the one Penny wears in the movie is made from 14-karat gold. This one is cast from...
And she has it here for you, Jamie.
don't tease me, Glenn.
One is cast from pewter, and it is plated in 18-karat gold, and it's really hard.
So it's affordable.
Oh, very affordable. Uh-huh.
What it is retail for?
I think it's $39.95.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. I mean, this is Secretariat and Ron Turcotte going down the stretch.
Yes, that's it. I mean, the horse is flying. His feet do not touch the ground.
Yes, they do not.
You almost lost that one. You're lucky.
I know. That hurts. Oh, well, come on over here to give it to us. He said I gave the email address wrong.
What is it?
The email address is info.
Info.
I gave the website.
Well, the website is
www.tfty.com. TFTKY.com.
Of KY.
TFT of KY.com.
TFTOfKY.com.
You can see the secretary pins and everything.
Yes. You can see the secretary pins, and it'll tell you where to go to
get
them.
TFT of KY.com.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
You get old, you forget easy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tolerating us all weekend.
Oh, it's been fun.
Speaking of tolerating.
I'm so glad to be back.
We have Carrie here. Have you ever met Carrie, Jamie?
I haven't, Jamie.
Carrie is from Carrots. Carrie from Carrots. That's right.
Fantastic.
Carrie has been on, I'd say, numerous Horse Radio Network shows now. And we just love talking to you. You have a fascinating story and fast and everything. Everybody knows what Carrots are. We've talked about you. what's new coming out for the spring and summer?
Okay, so I've reinvented myself.
You
I'm
have?
I'm back to my youth. I'm back to coaching ski racing and
involved
with athletes on Mount Hood. So
I
coach every weekend. So this season's line is very...
Sold the horses.
No, love the horses.
Okay.
But now I'm taking a lot of the technology from SkiWear and using it in equestrian apparel. So
things like...
In skiing, they've stopped making long underwear that go into the ski boots because it affects your performance. They don't against the shin. So now we've made long underwear, same idea. Just crop them at the knee so you don't have extra bulk in your boot. Lots of fabrics and things that are totally skiwear related. And it's been a lot of fun. So I'm up testing products. So people are like, oh, you're skiing in a horse coat. And I'm like, yeah. And our ski team is sponsored by our horse coats. And so it's been good.
I skied in my riding helmet 2 weekends ago. I figured, I've got a helmet. I'm sure it's not exactly the same, but why rent a stinky helmet? I just skied in my riding helmet.
So Uvex, which is a great ski helmet company, helmets look almost identical to the riding helmets.
Oh, really?
In through here. And I think that technology is really pulling together. And I think that a lot of the I was just at the outdoor retailer show last week in Salt Lake City seeing what's new in outdoor. And a lot of the same trends you're starting to see are parallel. And
and
it's nice because those are bigger industries. So when they develop that technology, then it makes it affordable to come into the riding industry. So it's been good.
Wow.
And colors. Colors are a thing this year.
Colors are getting better. We are finally getting out of wearing black, which is good, and it's nice.
When you first started making carrots, it was only in black.
Well,
way back.
I first started making carrots, they were wild colors, which nobody bought.
Right.
I had to go
went to black. Right.
I slowly tried to transition them out, and then when the economy gets a little bit shaky, people go back to tan and black. So now this year we're seeing color sell again and some excitement, so it's a real indicator that I think our little segment is bouncing back.
Well, good, because you do well at colors. So
I love colors.
And the website people can see all these things on?
Ourkerrits.com, so it's KERRITS.com, and we have a very interactive page. We have a very interactive Facebook community as well, which is linked to our website, so it's a great opportunity for customers to give us feedback, because we are now asking our customers to be designers and get involved with shaping how equestrian apparel looks in the future, and we get lots of great input.
If you are not a fan of her on Facebook, Get Up Carrots, you need to be, because Jamie's a vegetarian, and they put a lot of carrot recipes up.
Nice.
Actually, every week we have a fresh carrot recipe, and now we, again, are asking people to give us their best carrot recipes, and we have contests. And so you can feel free to enter our competitions and win a carrots outfit for your great carrots recipes. So
okay.
You could be a connoisseur.
We cooked one of them, by the way, at Christmas.
Oh,
we did
good.
Make one of us very good.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
So we did.
So I
went, I need to make carrots. Carrots! Facebook! I know where to find recipes.
So people do get a little confused about the horse recipes. They really are for people.
People,
and,
yeah.
Yes, not
I cooked the people one, yeah.
No,
thank you, Carrie.
No, thank
we
you
appreciate
much.
It.
Great
that's carrots. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie.
All right, we have something special coming up now.
I don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it? Oh, you can't be. You can't chicken out now. Hey, Jennifer, can you grab the flip cam so we can videotape this? And that was Helena saying, oh, I don't see you volunteering.
No. Thank you. I want to try.
All right, guys. Introduce yourself.
Good morning. It's Lee Middleton.
And
Greg Marvin, point two.
Point two air vest. We teased it earlier in the show that Jamie and I are going to get blown up today. And this is it. This is the time. Jamie's been dreading this. She's kind of been, like, scared.
I have to pee now.
Well,
so nervous.
That won't be a problem in about 1 minute.
I know. Push it right out of me. So, yeah, check this out. If you haven't seen the videos of the Point 2 Air Vest, I was introduced to you guys at Rolex last year watching the video of this. I'm sorry, what an idiot. Okay, this guy is on a horse and he's diving off of it after a jump. I thought, first of all, that's not smart. But then
actually Lee's best friend.
Is it really?
Takes a brave man to
Yeah, that would be the not
does.
Smart part then, right?
It does. I mean, he jumps the jump.
No alcohol involved.
And then he flies off, yeah. And but you realize that he's fine. He's totally fine because of these Point 2 air vests. Tell everybody kind of what they are.
Well, back then, when we first brought it out, everyone wanted to see how it worked. And we obviously don't have to get people to throw themselves off horses now.
They volunteer to do that.
Yeah.
So I persuaded him for Channel 4 to throw himself off over an open ditch chase fence, a flat-out gallop. to see this thing blow up. So it was a brave man. So basically, you clip yourself on to the front, the lanyard, you pull the ball bearing out, and the jacket would inflate in 0.1 seconds.
And it's a vest that's meant to go over top of your regular cross-country vest. And what it does is it's attached to the saddle. If you become disengaged from the horse involuntarily, the air vest goes off instantly. By the time you hit the ground, you have basically an airbag all around you. Front, back, shoulders, really support your neck a little bit.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So, and we've all seen now the videos of at Rolex and things of the riders forgetting to disengage from the saddle, to unhook it from the saddle at the end of a Rolex course and jump off, and the airbag goes, and it's very funny.
Yeah.
It's so comfortable. You forget you've got it on, and it does take a few weeks to get used to it, to remember to unclip yourself. So, yeah, you get the ones you see wear it the first time. Quite often forget to unclip themselves.
Well, now, and we're going to, I don't know how we're going to do this live on radio, but we're going to hold our mics. You're going to put these on us.
Yeah.
And Jennifer is going to videotape it for us. So we'll put this on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning.
Oh,
but basically, you're going to hear us right now get it blown up by the airbags. So here we go.
Red one for you.
All right. We're going to come around and grab the mics on the other side.
Okay.
We're going to come around here. I have a couple of mics here.
All right. Take the scarf off.
I have the one mic. It's going to be a little bit of noise with us holding the mics. Now, why don't you hold that one? All right. I am putting on my air vest.
Oh, my God.
Right now. You're doing a good job holding the mic. I'm being buckled into my air vest at this point. You said it wasn't supposed to be too tight. We're not going to break ribs.
You better loosen that up, Craig.
Am I in any personal danger by being with, you know, in close proximity?
No, you'll be fine. Just don't have, if you you clip yourself in now, there's a three clips there.
Okay.
That should be about the right size for you.
All right, are you videotaping this, Jennifer? You want to come around the front so you can see both of us?
That looks like a nice chair.
So,
oops, sorry, I'm hitting
if you turn around this way, there's 6 stone of pressure here, so you're not going to accidentally pull this. Some people say, if I lean on it, am I going to accidentally set this off?
Oh, there we go. That's great. Terrific.
Right. You hold that.
All right. I'm holding the mic now. Are you going to do them together?
Already?
And we have to do it with the video. Can we do it so the video can see them blowing up? All right. That's a 10. And it gives us any time to prepare for that. And Jamie's dying here. There is definitely a constriction.
No count to three.
And now it slowly goes away.
Yeah, it's a stop valve in the back of the jacket. So the minute it goes off, they're coming out the back there. But it has to hold you that tight to do this.
Well, it's definitely holding you tight. There's no question about that. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I peed a little. Excuse me.
Well, you caught us a little off guard there. That was you trained to do that, right? You catch us. Wow, that wasn't. I could. No, but you definitely feel like you're in there.
Yeah.
You're in tight.
And that's why we definitely suggest people try it before they actually ride, because the first time you do actually get it, you know, it is quite a shock, you know. So.
Ice cream.
It has to hold you that tight. It's trying to stop your back from your spine from hyperflexing. So.
Well, and that and the way that it feels encasing, you know, so many people have collarbone fractures off horses, and it really grabs your collarbone and the back and just completely wraps around you. I mean, I think you'd jump off a bridge.
don't go doing that.
I know, sorry.
You could fall off a horse. That would be all right.
It's almost like it was designed for that or something. So this is reusable, right? I mean,
reusable. All you're having to do is $24 is the replacement cartridge, so you can use the jacket again and again and again.
I've inflated one of these 3,000 times, so, yeah, you're going to get plenty of use out of it.
All right, if you fall off 3,000 times, you're breaking other stuff. Yeah, your chest is the least of your problems.
You need to get it.
New horse.
Yeah.
Get some lessons, get a new horse, send it over to Guy, he'll train it for you.
All right, well, I'm awake now. That's better than coffee in the morning. That was incredible. Thank you, Guy. Now, how is it hard to replace this then? It takes a minute.
Yeah, just unscrew that canister, screw a new one in, pop the pin back in, and you're good to go.
Well, that's great. This has been fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. Where can people find them?
Point 2 USA, if you go on there, and Dover have them, Smart Pack have them, Bit of Britain, yeah.
Everybody's doing it, so you got to get one.
And I can see why this would protect you when you hit the ground, because, you know, it's got you locked in here, and you've got inches of airbag around you. Yeah, that's great. If you could just make one for the whole body when I ride, that would be great. You know, head, feet, legs.
I've ridden in the car with you now, and you need them when you drive.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, let me get out of this thing here. All right, everybody, we're going back to our seats here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was something. They caught us a little off guard because we were thinking we would have time to prepare for that, and apparently not.
You didn't count. I was waiting for 1, 2, 3, you know.
I know. And we have somebody else we were talking about earlier that's here, and I'd like to bring him over right now. And that's Guy. Guy, could you come on over? We have Guy McLean here. You got quite a show. You weren't expecting that. You need to be about 2 inches from the mic there, Guy.
Yeah,
that was quite a show. Well, were our faces? Were our eyes bugging out?
Yeah, you certainly looked surprised.
Guy, all I could see was him looking over there laughing at us. That was all he did.
I was laughing with you.
Yeah.
Thank God that wasn't me.
If we'd known you'd been here, we'd had to bring one for you, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Seriously.
Oh, that is some experience. So, Guy, you're here, and actually you have some DVDs, which we talked about on the show yesterday on Tack and Habit. They'll be coming out. You'll be able to hear Guy talk all about his DVDs. But you're also here doing demonstrations with your horses. And, you know, it is always fun to see you do your thing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
And I swear that I didn't earlier on the show call you the man from Snowy River at all and describe that you will be a nominee for next year's. Come here, Helena. I mean, okay, how in is this guy? Okay, he's a winner. He could be a winner.
Give him his own category.
2011 Hottest Horseman of the Year award show. Will,
but he won't wear breeches, so no.
No, he won't be in it for that category. How about the best in a hat? I mean, he looks really good in a hat.
We did do a side category this year, Guy, which is hottest man galloping without his shirt on, and so because we had a submission.
So now he's going to take his shirt off.
I just acknowledge that. Yeah. It'll be very nipply if I do that.
Guys, why did I agree to come do this show?
You're talking about horses.
I got a show on. I think I've got to go and prepare.
I was just saying we could give him his own category, much like that. Okay, I didn't mean he had to rip his shirt off, much like the one you made for Charles and Zenyatta. Let's move on.
Jamie, she does make up special categories for people.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
If I'm the only one in it, that'll be good.
Yeah. Competition.
You have a better chance of winning that way.
Yeah. So how has your weekend been here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's been good. When we came over here, we met with Tim Topper from this wonderful place, from Hopper Productions, and he said he'd like us to come here and do stuff in Pennsylvania. And we said, oh, that's fine, because we didn't know how cold it was. And then we found out.
Feet of snow.
Feet of snow. But we loved it. Like, to drive along, it's not been snowing since we've been here, and it's just unreal to see the countryside like this. I don't know if I'd like to live in it the whole time, but we really enjoyed it.
You should give a shout-out. Where did you – our second biggest listening audience for this show you're on right now is Australia.
Oh, really?
So where are you from in Australia?
A little place called Maryborough, 3 hours north of the capital of Queensland, of Brisbane.
Okay, yeah. Good. Well, you can say hi to all of your friends back there in Australia.
Hello to both of you. This is a lot.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Yeah, that's right.
That's about it. Okay.
On a serious note, though, unfortunately, I did see, you know, Australia's had, and we've mentioned this and gave our prayers to everybody in Australia, they've had some terrible flooding problems, like worst in history.
Yeah.
They're due for a Category 2 cyclone in the next 3 days, again, expecting up to another foot of rain.
Really?
Yeah, so our best to everybody down there. Keep yourself and your horses safe.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania's not looking so bad.
Yeah, right.
Frozen water's easy to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
well,
so
you know, we We will be highlighting your DVDs on the Tack and Habit show. We had, and I got Emily to talk on the air.
You did well.
That's his girlfriend and traveling partner here in the United States, and she never would talk on the air before.
Her hat doesn't fit anymore. Going on, a superstar. You've created a monster, Glenn. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, you can send her over. You know. But thank you so much, Guy. It's been a pleasure talking to you again.
I have to ask him one horse training.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, I have to come up with a horse training question. Because if I came over here, on your DVDs, what is the one thing, like the most important thing we will learn from watching these DVDs that Helena has that I'm going to borrow?
I suppose safety is the biggest thing that I like to teach with anything. It's wonderful to aim for high-level performance, but I've seen horses at the highest level in cutting, reining, and dressage that aren't safe. And so much more important for me to create safe ways of working with them. A lot of people, when they ride, they're very nervous and don't feel comfortable. When I ride any one of my horses using my methods, I feel safer on top of them than I do on the ground. And it's about, you know, about getting control over the horse's feet and control over his mind so you are safe up there. And then you can do high-level things. Safety is the most important thing that I like to push in anything that I do, because you should feel safe up there, and then you can accomplish a lot more.
Yeah, you have that one-on-one trust and appreciation and control before you can. I don't know how people do it with these big warm bloods, and they get on, they're like, well, we can't trail ride them, but you know, it is fourth level dressage. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
How can you not take your horse for a hack? Oh, they don't do that. Mm. I'm like, wow, okay. So they skip that step.
You know something, though? Glenn can't go to a museum.
What?
You panic when you're in a museum. I read plaques. You run to the end.
Oh, well, I hate reading plaques. I'm not a plaque reader. And she reads every plaque in the place, and we're there for 6 hours.
Awesome. All right.
I've got the same fear as shopping malls.
We all have our fears.
Well, thank you, Guy, for stopping by. We really appreciate it. And your website is? GuyMcLean.com. GuyMcLeanUSAtour.com.
That's right.
GuyMcLeanUSAtour.com. Just Google Guy McLean and you'll come up with it. Thank you, Guy. Good to see you again.
And you have Facebook, too.
Yep. Apparently, yeah.
Because we're friends. Oh, so that wasn't you emailing me back.
Apparently, I had 500 friends before I even knew it was up there. I got a great girl at home looks after all my horses, and she does the Facebook. And apparently, a couple of my horses have got Facebook, and I think they've got more fans than me. But
yeah, that's the way it is.
Thanks, Guy. We appreciate
thank you.
It.
My word.
Thanks.
So that was Guy McLean. We got to meet so many cool people here, and people that we've known in the past and new people this weekend. And I know Helena sat beside a bunch of them on the bus on the way up. And we had quite an experience. You talked about my driving. We had quite an experience on the way up here, too.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you planned perfectly for my travel arrangements. At my flight was at 9 o'clock Phoenix, which takes me an hour to get to the airport. So pretty much 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm driving in rush hour traffic to get to Phoenix Airport. I get on the plane, and I conveniently land at 5 p.m. on a Friday night in Philadelphia. So another 2-plus hours to get back to our hotel rooms. Great timing, great driving. I'm like, Glenn, you cannot drive on the shoulder. It is totally illegal. You cannot pass by the traffic.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it was anybody that's been to Philadelphia knows the Schuylkill or the Schuylkill Expressway, and that's where we were.
Yeah.
So it was the Schuylkill for that hour and a half on the highway trying to get here. Well, we have with us the sponsor for this morning's episode, and that is Dr. Gordon Chang from Omega Alpha. Just sat down here with us. Welcome, Dr. Chang.
Thank you for having me on this morning.
Well, this is terrific. You know, we've been able to see old friends, but we've also been able to catch up with some of our sponsors on the show here. We met Dr. Chang, and we found Bo from Back on Track. And Lua from Pfizer. So we've really been catching up with some of our sponsors.
Yeah, I think Dr. Chang's going to get a restraining order on me. I keep going over there and just asking him more and more questions. Okay, what if my horse does this? What do I need to do? You've actually given me some really exciting knowledge to take back to Phoenix with the world of sand colic and try some flaxseed.
I'm glad you think it was useful. Let's give it a try, you know.
Yeah, I will, because psyllium is one thing you give horses, and that's something that kind of gets it out. And he's like, why don't you try flaxseed? There's so many more properties that are good for the horse, and it does it. It's fiber.
Yeah, it's basically what you're trying to do with things like flaxseed and psyllium is give them fiber. More fiber you give them, it just pushes it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're trying to do with it.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try that. The silly market is going down. Flaxseed is where it's at, people. So Dr. Chang, you've been so helpful, and thanks for being a part of the show.
I do have a question for you. What is the thing? You know, everything goes in cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Life goes in cycles. Trends go in. You know, everything goes in cycles. What is the thing now that you're seeing? What is the biggest concern of horse owners for their horses?
Well, it really depends on the market where you are, but I'll say I would say if I look at all of them, somebody said to me it's people is the biggest concern of horses, but that's on the side. I think it's really ulcers. Ulcers seem to be happening all over,
yeah.
And really, I think the reason that ulcers are so big is just the way the horses are kept, you know.
And it's probably been going on for thousands of years, hundreds of years, the ulcers in horses, and nobody knew, but I have direct experience with it. And I'm going to tell you, you'll have a very unhappy horse turn extremely happy once you clear those up.
That's right. And the problem with ulcers is that they recur. It's not something that you say, well, you clear it up today and it doesn't appear for another 6 months. It can recur as fast as a week or so.
Oh,
and
no.
You could back all of it depends on stress situations, yeah. And so on.
Yeah. And so what do you recommend for horses that people think, have ulcers? I mean, obviously, getting them scoped and doing all that is the way that you tell, but I knew my horse did.
One of the things I would say, and it's a cheap fix, it has nothing to do with anything we produce, anything. It's a cheap fix, relatively speaking, is that make sure that there's hay in the stall at all times. And my thinking is that you should be throwing hay out every morning. Now, I know there are people who don't like the waste, and they'll say, well, I'm throwing the hay out. You know, the idea is that, horses don't sleep as much as we do. So a lot of times in certain stables and so on, you throw in a flake or two of hay, and you come in the next morning, and you say, oh, great, it's all gone, right? So, but the biggest thing with ulcers is gut filth. So this horse may have finished this hay at about 11 p.m. at night. You're in bed. So there's nothing in his gut between 11 and 6 when you go in to see him again. But in the meantime, he's releasing acids in the stomach. And if he's releasing acids in the stomach, that acid, there's nothing to buffer that acid. So that could
just
potentially cause ulcers.
Yeah, it's a hole in their stomach. So.
Yeah. And, out in the wild, horses are nibbling 20 out of 24 hours.
Right.
Catnap. They really don't sleep. They catnap.
Yeah.
All right.
So what are your products designed to help horses' stomachs? I mean, I obviously am a fan of Biotic8.
Yeah.
I think that's really made a difference in my horse.
Yeah. One of the biggest advantages of Biotic8 is the delivery mechanism. I mean, there's lots of probiotics kicking around. One of the biggest advantages we have with Biotic8 is that it contains 8 strains of different probiotics, and that's important because it's all about balance. It's all about getting different strains of bacteria in your gut. Secondly, it's a delivery mechanism because we put it in with a lot of fiber, and the fiber is important because when it gets wet, it forms a paste that protects the probiotics from the acid in the stomach. And because you protect the probiotics from the acid, a lot of it can pass into the small intestine and into the hindgut
where it needs
at a higher concentration than normal,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and then it can implant. Now, some people will say, well, if it forms a paste, you trap it. But with the movement of the gut as it moves, goes down the GI tract, right, it'll break that up. And it'll be acting as a seed culture going all the way down the GI tract.
That's so smart. Awesome.
Yeah.
I could sit here and tie, and I have said restraining orders probably on his way, because I just listened to him talk for hours about.
And it doesn't matter what question I ask him about which part of the horse it's that way.
Yeah, he knows everything.
Well, I wouldn't say I knew everything, but thank you.
Well, the website obviously is omegaalpha.ca. Find the supplement that suits your horse. If you're going to get one, you need to get it from there.
Yeah, and we have so many different products. I mean, to be fair, if I was to sit down there to try and describe what we have products for, it'll take us all day.
Yeah,
right. I don't think anybody wants to listen to me all day.
But
Jamie might.
One thing, yeah, she would. There's one thing about your products, though, and that's they're all natural. And that's the key to your product.
And that's the key. And a lot of our herbal supplements are liquid extracts. And that's very important. People don't realize how important that is. And I have a very quick analogy to show the importance. Everybody drinks coffee for the caffeine content, right?
Right.
If I was to give you the coffee grounds, a teaspoonful of coffee grounds, and ask you to eat it, you will not get the same amount of caffeine as you would if I brewed that coffee. Well, that's basically what we've done with our product line. When we make it, we're basically a brewing process to extract out the actives.
Okay.
Right? So you get much more of the active if we brew it as opposed to eating it whole, even in a ground-up form.
Interesting.
Wow.
And that's why people get a lot more success with our product line than most of the other stuff that's out there.
Wow. Well, that's great. So it's omegaalpha.com. CA.
That's correct.
All right. It's been good to see you again, Dr. Chang.
I would also like to thank our listeners out there for supporting our product line and making all this possible.
Aww. Well, we like that.
thank you, Dr. Chang.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for coming by.
We do appreciate it.
See, I just learned something every 5 seconds in this place.
I know. You've been going crazy here.
Yeah, picking the brains of everybody. Did Uncle Jimmy just leave?
No, he's coming back. Okay. But we have, we have two more guests we're going to bring on today's show and also sponsors. And that's one is sitting down here. A guy I spent a weekend with recently, much to both of our chagrins, I think. No, it was fun. With Roy from Charles & Owen Helmets. Hi, Roy.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing great. And Helena has been spending a lot of time in your booth, I understand.
She has, yeah. We've been...
Did you kick her out?
We've been introducing her into some new, really comfy protection for her body. I think she's kind of thinking of falling off in the near
future. Yeah, we just had to point two people over. So I think between a new Charles Owen helmet, a new Charles Owen vest, and a point two vest, she should be good.
Absolutely. And, of course, she did choose our new limited edition Centennial helmet.
Oh, really?
I thought I'd bring to show you because it's got this really wonderful purple color.
Is that what you picked?
That's awesome.
That's right.
Helena, get over here. Hey, Helena, get over here. So now we're talking about the helmet you just picked. He said you picked it. You didn't tell us you picked a purple one.
No. The body protector was purple for gray.
Ah, okay.
If they had the Air 8 in purple, I would have gotten it.
Ah, okay.
Product development idea for
you. So this is a purple one. Which one is this?
That's nice.
That's the Pro 2.
Pro 2.
And I say we're doing a limited edition with our 100-year logo in, which is going to be in a chrome embroidery.
Oh, wow.
Really special.
I love that Roy doesn't know that yesterday was my Charles Owen day. We might have shopped together, and I just got the paperwork done a little quicker. But I wanted to tell you that is my product pick of the entire show is the Charles Owen vest. It is JL9.
Yes, that's right.
It's fantastic. I mean, I've had other cross-country vests before, but I never felt as comfortable and secure in a vest as I did the Charles Owen vest. It hugs you in the right places. Again, collarbone is covered, back and shoulders. It's very secure, but oh my gosh, you can move around no problem. It doesn't block your waist. It doesn't block your arms from doing your release when you're going over a fence. It's very movable, but very secure. And I bought one. And I told my husband, I said,
unobtrusive.
Yeah,
so I didn't distract you from what your focus.
Exactly. And then so I told my husband, he's like, you did what? I was like, he's like, you already have a vest. I'm like, I wanted this one. And and so I said to him, see, honey, now I can ride my thoroughbred without you being, because the thoroughbred I have is a little bit wilder and untrusting. So I always make him go out and stand in the arena. And I'm sure he'd rather be doing other things than sitting in trot circles.
Like flying planes.
Yeah. Like doing anything besides watching me trot circles. I go, I can ride Chet alone now, honey. You can be in the house. I've got the protective vest. What else do I need? He's like, oh, that's actually pretty good. I'm like, score. Okay, justified.
Well, yeah, my daughter is very, very picky. And we know, we talk about this all the time. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And she will not wear anything that
rubs, makes it.
Oh, I wonder where she got that from. Helena doesn't like anything that scrapes or bunches or anything.
No, you know how much we've gone through with this kid, and she just, it has to be, she can't wear gloves because then she can't feel the rain. She's 8, okay? She walks. She will put this vest on the jail line, and she will enjoy it. She's had it on. She said, yeah, Mom, I can wear this. I can ride in this. Not only can she wear it, but I can ride in it. So if it passes the Grace test and the Jamie test,
it did. Why did we invite you over? They apparently, you could hire them as your marketing department.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I just was here to hold the prop.
Oh, my gosh, Roy. No, seriously, you know, what else do you want to tell people about any of your other products?
You can interrupt them.
We've got the vest covered. You know, I think
the thing that sometimes people don't understand is it's the vests are almost a little bit like helmets were 10 years ago. Everyone was, like, being told by the trainers they want to have these apparel only. They don't want to have the approved vet helmets because, you know, they're ugly, they're uncomfortable, they're bulky and things like that. And so everyone said, okay, well, we've got to wear these unapproved helmets. And then, of course, we had a few disasters happen, and everyone decided to change. And it's a little bit about the vest now, is that a lot of people come in and say, well, you know, I want to have the vest like everyone else is wearing, okay? And you say, well, oh, right, so you want one of the unapproved ones because they don't actually meet the STM standard. And they say, but why would anybody make a vest that didn't meet the STM standard?
Right.
Okay. And so, therefore, there's this whole sea change coming. Now, the problem with the old STM vests is that they were a little bulky. They were a little rigid, uncomfortable. They tended to move around. They weren't fitting. But with these new materials, like you've discovered, you know, suddenly it's all changed.
Yeah.
And you can actually have an approved vest that's really comfortable. And I think that people just don't understand that it's really, they can have so much more protection, right? And, you know, the price is about the same level. You know, you're not having to pay a premium.
It was surprisingly affordable for what I felt like I was getting out of that product.
There's no reason you should ride without one.
Yeah. I mean, for kids, you know, obviously, it's like
no matter what
I said yesterday, it's cheaper than a visit to the emergency room when you fall off. I mean, and I'm sorry, we ride horses, we're going to fall. So you might as well take that extra protection step. And obviously, in the sport of eventing, we have to wear them on cross country, which became a rule, thank goodness, several years ago. You started having to not just wear the emergency phone numbers on your arm. Like, what, you know, what, doctor?
That
should
have been
like,
the first clue that we needed to get.
I know.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you have to wear an emergency phone number on your arm, you need more
your
protection.
Your arm, it's like, what doctor do you use? I wrote, the closest one. What's the emergency number? 911, call it. Just whatever, if I can't talk to you. So now we've got, besides the armbands, you have to wear the vest. And so hopefully not needing the armbands.
And I think in Europe, we've actually seen, you know, the move forward because, you know, it started off with eventing. And then people started finding that, you know, every birthday, the ground gets a little harder. And the thing is that with the vest, you can kind of have a play mat wrapped around your body.
Yeah.
So when you actually land, you know, and because you don't think it's going to hurt when you land, of course you relax. And because you relax, you don't end up with the same sort of injuries. And again, a lot of Europe now is requiring vests, especially when people learn to jump. You know, it's not just eventing, it's just jumping. And sometimes I think, you know, parents do go a little bit far because you get these three-year-olds coming in with these big body protectors, you know, high-level protection, you know.
Yeah,
and they can
elbow
hardly move
pad,
on the back of the horse.
Knee pad, helmet.
That's right. It does sort of go to things. But yeah, I mean, and especially if you have a rider who has a fall and loses a bit of confidence, okay, because it hurt. The great thing is a vest they can put on, and it gives them that sort of level of confidence that
exactly
back again.
What I said
Which
when I
build
put it
on.
You said as soon as you've seen that kids who put this on or people who put the vest on, it completely changes the way they ride.
Yeah,
the minute they have
because you ride with more without fear, less fear,
which
That's
then
right.
builds upon itself
yeah.
so that it creates even more confidence because you're more successful.
Yeah.
Did you also feel that actually when you had the vest on that your posture was a little
yes
better?
It's almost like the shoulders back
yeah the shoulders it actually tends to put a little bit of pressure with the elastic over the shoulder that actually improve your posture. And again, if you have the right posture, you're then less likely to fall. So it not only actually protects you, but it also helps to stop the fall happening in the first place.
Yeah
these guys think of everything.
They really do.
Hello. I love it. And again, it just gives you that confidence. Like I said,
I run for Congress.
Give us confidence.
I don't think his accent's right.
Just be president.
Thank you, Roy. We appreciate you stopping by. And, of course, that's Charles Owen.
Okay.
And thank you for continuing to support the Horse Radio Network. We really appreciate it.
You do such a great job. And I'm really so pleased that your morning show is becoming so popular.
Well, it's all because of Jamie. No, it has nothing to do with me.
Agreed. It is.
Yeah.
I see. She is the big one.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. I'm just here to do the dials.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Push the button. Bye, Roy. Thank you.
We have another pair of guests who are going to walk over here now. And this is how we're going to end the show. We are going to end the show with these two characters. We have Uncle Jimmy and Uncle Tom. And, of course, from Uncle Jimmy's Hangin' Balls. And
guys.
Who is his sponsor? Hi, Uncle Jimmy.
How you doing, guys?
But this is the first time, we actually have Uncle Tommy on.
Good morning. Hey, I'd like to, I'm really happy, guys, to have my partner Tom on. He's now called Uncle Dirty.
Uncle Dirty?
Uncle Dirty.
After this weekend.
Listen, just because we have a special friendship doesn't mean he's a dirty old man. He's been very nice to me. But Tommy and I have a, we share something special, and that is that he is the only other vegetarian in this entire country. I swear, the state, whatever, we are sharing vegetarian recipes. And so he may look big and gruff and tough and wear cowboy hats and everything, but he's a big softy.
No, but tell everybody what his shirt says.
Well, it says got balls.
It's so funny because we had dinner with you two. We're not even going to go into that. But we had dinner with you two the other night. And then, so we were with Uncle Jimmy, and we were talking about your hanging balls and your licky things and your well, we'll get into the next one, Jamie's bringing home for her husband.
I can't.
We're going to get into that. But then the next morning, we had the lady from Gelding's.
Gelding's Nuts.
Gelding's Nuts.
We saw that walking in.
Gelding's, they are unbelievably good.
Are they really somebody's?
Yeah, Gelding's Nuts, apparently. And they were really, really good. So we ended the night with you guys and your hanging balls, and then we started the next morning with Gelding's Nuts. So there you go. That's what this show's been like. So what are you bringing home to your husband, a special present?
Oh, my gosh. I told him, I said, honey, I'm bringing you home a present. I can't say what he said.
Go for it. You could say it.
Yeah, you can. That's almost PG. That's almost PG.
I said, I said, honey, I got you a present. I got you the Pecker Wrecker. And he said, what are you going to do to my penis?
Well, signing off now, folks.
That's the end
really
of the show.
Yeah, the boss said I could say it.
But you know, it's not just any old Pecker Wrecker. It's Uncle Jimmy's
amazing
Wrecker. Okay. And you should tell everybody what it is, because now they're really
It's not for your body parts, honey. It's for the chickens.
we made a product for a group in England that we're using the licky things for the chickens to keep them from pecking each other. And we decided to make a custom product for them that has actually premium chicken feed and is bound together with some gelatin, and it keeps chickens from pecking each other. It's a block, hangs out in the barnyard, and lasts a couple weeks out there with some barnyard friends.
It's about the size of a brick, and it's got a little hanger on it so I can hang it in my coop, and they can all peck that instead of each other, because we do have one with less feathers than the other ones.
You know, they do that. So people who haven't owned chickens go, chickens peck each other? Yeah, they'll peck each other to death.
They're
animals. They are mean little creatures.
I think it's where henpeck comes from, right? The word henpeck.
And pecking order and all that.
I never thought about that, actually.
They have a pecking order, and they're even more strict about it than the horses are.
You know, the one thing I saw over here,
Javier,
over at your booth, Uncle Jimmy, I didn't realize your big ball was that big.
Oh, you're talking about the new...
The big licky?
New big licky.
Oh, that's a big licky.
The four-pounder, yeah, and it has a holder to it, top and bottom, and that will be
that hangs,
out.
Too, in the
that
stall.
That hangs, too. It'll be coming out in May.
So if your horse just devours Uncle Jimmy's balls, then probably the big licky would be the thing to slow him down a little.
Yeah, that would. But always keep it so it's free-swinging.
You don't want to have it pinned up against a wall.
Yeah, and we were talking about this too. My horse weaves.
There is so much here. I could
yeah,
just
I know. You just have to push through. You have to push through. You really do.
Up against the wall.
Up against the wall. Don't put the licky thing up against the wall. Have it free hanging. I mean, it's too much. It's just joke overload.
People just checking in.
Yes. By the way, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network.
Brought to you by
Omega Alpha, who now has just dropped their sponsorship.
Yeah. So we were talking about the licky